Hello, and welcome to Unit 2 of Component 7, Working with HIT Systems. This unit, titled Under the Hood, will focus upon how systems are actually being used in healthcare and how they support, and frankly, how sometimes they thwart the processes of care. Unit 2 is presented in two parts. This slide deck is the first and will take approximately 21 minutes to view. The second part of this unit builds on the material presented here in Part 1. In Unit 2, we are going to focus upon both inpatient and ambulatory, otherwise known as outpatient, situations and how HIT can support both. We will briefly discuss the patient care process and how location can shift how HIT is used. While the patient is at the center of both types of encounters, both inpatient and ambulatory, providers and support staff may rely on different functions of HIT based on the location. Because care is provided in a variety of settings, there can be no one-size-fits-all. But at the same time, there is core functionality that must be present regardless of where care is rendered. Discussing HIT in both settings is important as the process of healthcare delivery evolves and changes in the U.S. The increase in services provided in ambulatory settings is very notable, and new emerging sites of care are proliferating, and it is likely that this trend will continue. Community pharmacies are transforming into sites of care for patients, with an increase in the number of minute clinics and the like appearing in large pharmacy chains or large retail stores. Walk-in clinics where nurse practitioners and physician's assistants work alongside a pharmacy, workplace-located wellness clinics, convenient care being provided to patients in their homes through telehealth services, and even medical tourism, where patients travel to foreign countries for high-quality procedures at lower total costs, are all areas where data capture and data coordination with the larger healthcare system is required. In thinking about how care is and will be provided, we propose the following objectives. In this unit, we will identify the health IT functions that support a generic ambulatory care process, and we will also identify the health IT functions that support a generic inpatient care process. I emphasize the word generic because the processes may vary, so both of these are provided to just give you a general idea of how processes roll out and how HIT can support both. So let's start by discussing the ways in which EHRs support the care processes, both inpatient and ambulatory. So HIT facilitates the filtering, organization of, and access to information. Thoroughness in gathering the patient's history, reviewing findings from the physical examination, the results from tests and procedures is critical. And of course, so is currency. Data is not like wine. It doesn't necessarily improve with age. Lab values, for example, can change drastically and quickly, and clinicians are making decisions based on the data at hand. I believe you can see where I'm going with this. Looking at the picture on the slide of a stack of paper charts may give you an idea of what a clinician faces and why moving away from paper is not elective. The use of HIT becomes even more imperative in the ambulatory setting, where ready access to data is often complicated by geographic distances. So using an electronic system makes the retrieval and review of patient information much simpler and can substantially improve the clinician's knowledge about the patient. And this is true whether we are talking inpatient or ambulatory care. And of course, EHR is not a panacea. It cannot retrieve, nor process any information that is either not available or uninterpretable. This brings us around again to integrated and interoperable systems. Conversely, as all of the data becomes integrated and accessible, the resultant electronic data collections in healthcare have become exceedingly large, often surpassing the capacity of a busy clinician to make sense of it all. So interestingly, the problem now faced by health professionals is changing from one of not enough patient data to review to one of what we sometimes classify as called drowning in data, presenting clinicians with unfocused and excessive amounts of data in an EHR often ends up exceeding the capacity, the cognitive capacity of the provider, and it increases cognitive load and can actually facilitate medical error. So the moral of the story here is that more data is not necessarily better. There is a balance that must be struck. So striking that balance requires that system designers develop systems that are capable of gathering, displaying, and extracting information from a user-centered perspective. Perhaps a clinician prefers to look at values from a test displayed as a graph instead of numeric values, or maybe a public health professional requires a view of aggregated data from the entire community or from a city. Or maybe an administrator really just wants a view of the census data, et cetera, and et cetera. So we know that doctors, nurses, managers, pharmacists, occupational therapists, and so on have many common and divergent information needs. Situation-specific views of focused and pertinent data will assist a busy user in focusing on the issue at hand. Moreover, well-designed HIT can actually help a user do a better job by providing guidance and support during the process of care. An example, well-designed HIT can help improve care and support best practices by offering reminders of tests to be ordered, alerts when contraindicated medications are ordered, can automatically generate documentation templates to enhance the ease of documentation requirements, can offer alternatives to clinicians and patients to support decision making and the like. As can be seen in the image, HIT can also be used to educate or advise at the moment of need. Finally, HIT can support care processes by enhancing communication. As pointed out by Vincent in his 2006 book entitled Patient Safety from Elsevier, in high-risk settings such as aviation and nuclear power, where they share similar issues of work complexity, high stress, and frequent interruptions as healthcare, poor communication between the team members has frequently been identified as a causal factor in major incidents that have resulted in large losses of life. So patient care is provided by individuals who seldom, if ever, meet as a group, and yet they must be in constant communication with one another. Each team member is caring for multiple patients, managing multiple tasks, interacting with a multitude of people, both other professionals, staff, families, patients. And there are many information transfers and communication handoffs that have to occur in a timely and accurate fashion in order for patient care to be safe, reliable, and coordinated. So, think about smartphones, RFID tags, the radio frequency identification tags, that help to track people and materials wherever they're located in a hospital, or particularly in putting RFID tags on wandering patients so that you can find them. Think about mobile technologies that support mobile clinicians, both in a hospital and a public health clinic in a rural locale. So HIT plays a critical role in helping to support the communication process in healthcare. So as stated in the objectives, we want to spend some time talking about the commonalities and differences of HIT application in inpatient and ambulatory settings. So our goal in the next few slides will be to walk you through the inpatient clinical process encounter and an outpatient or ambulatory encounter while offering ideas of how HIT can or is being used to support the process. So what is the general process when a patient enters an inpatient setting? I understand this could be the start of a whole series of debates about how this process should flow, and a myriad of personal stories come to mind regarding some of the more interesting deviations observed over years in the healthcare business. But let me present this as a general framework and from a clinical perspective. So let's start this example in the emergency department or the ED with a patient who walks in and is not brought in by an ambulance. The patient presents. They're registered by the staff member at the check-in desk. A medical record is either started if the patient's new, or an old record is retrieved if the patient has been previously seen at this particular hospital. So next, the patient's data is reviewed by a variety of personnel. The administrative staff wants to verify demographic information, insurance coverage, next of kin, and the like. And so for any of you that have been through a trip to the ED or the emergency room, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. An administrative clerk then may begin looking for a bed assignment, because in the emergency department, the goal is to move patients quickly out of the ED, so to either send them home or get them to a unit, because the goal is to free up space in the emergency room. Because if the hospital's emergency beds are filled, then the ambulances are forced to bypass that particular emergency room and head to other hospitals or your competition down the street. So the clerk may begin to look for available beds just to get an idea of how quickly they can move people through the ED. The clinicians then quickly review any relevant patient data that's available, such as prior admissions, test results, past medical histories, and the like. Then the next step for a clinician is to talk with the patient to ask questions, assess answers, all the while observing and examining the patient. A follow-on step at the completion of the talking, observing, and examining is the cognitive aspects of the diagnosis process, like planning next steps, and then the documentation of findings, such as the history and physical, social history, medical history, signs and symptoms, etc. The clinician will then take an action, usually in the form of an order. This could be for medications, lab tests, x-rays, procedures, consultations, scheduling a follow-up appointment, etc. And in some severe cases, the clinician might immediately perform a procedure themselves or with the assistance of other emergency department staff, as you've probably seen a million times on TV. So if the patient is admitted, then the process cycles repeatedly from reviewing information through taking action as tests come back and additional information becomes available. And eventually, a patient is discharged from the inpatient setting, sometimes to another facility and sometimes to home. But anywhere along the way, patient education and shared decision-making are included if appropriate. Of course, if a patient is unconscious, unstable, demented, or whatever, decisions are made in regards to a family or maybe a guardian. Their involvement, which is often guided by the patient's desires if they had previously completed a living will or other type of advance directive document. So steps 8 and 9 are actually going on in the background. So their position at the end of this list is not exactly correct, although some of the data flowing from the inpatient encounter may be reported in the aggregate, and the submission of insurance claims and bills often happen after the fact. So now let's look at an ambulatory care visit. Just as before, there are many variations, so we will use as our example a follow-up to the physician's office after the patient has been discharged from the hospital. So a patient walks in to a physician's office and they check in for the appointment with the clerical staff, who verifies the appointment, confirms or updates the patient's contact and insurance information, and then retrieves the medical record, most likely a paper chart, from the files. A patient is then brought into an exam room where a staff member takes vital signs and possibly performs some part of the assessment, depending on the qualifications of the staff person. So the reason for the visit is determined and the information is documented, often by the office nurse or an assistant. The examination occurs with the provider. Findings are discussed. The provider is analyzing, thinking, planning, and then may write an order for a new med or another test or whatever. The doctor will often complete the documentation of the encounter immediately, but sometimes will choose to delay the completion of the encounter note until later that day in order to see the next patient more quickly. And some providers are still using dictation services. So after that, the patient checks out with the clerical staff, schedules another appointment, and may make a payment. After the fact, the provider may continue to complete any necessary documentation, and either she or the clerical staff will complete the insurance forms and file the record away. Now, in routine primary care ambulatory clinical practice, a provider may expect to see anywhere from 20 to 45 or more patients in a single day. For each of these, a clinical encounter note must be written, and typically a bill is generated. For most patients, one or more prescriptions are written, and for many, a lab test is ordered, and for a fraction, a referral will be made or a consultant's report created. Dr. Blackford Middleton from Harvard estimates that this equates to about 20,000 forms per year, not including other billing paperwork, which is usually done by administrative staff. So what's different? As alluded to earlier, there are aspects of the care episode that are the same, regardless of location. There is still a need to document and to generate enough information to support the reimbursement or billing process. Ordering occurs and reviewing results occurs no matter where a provider is. Records are maintained, contact and insurance information is updated, etc., etc. However, depending on circumstance, a clinician in an inpatient setting generally has ready access to systems such as radiology, the lab, decision support or guidelines, and the pharmacy, whereas a clinician in an outpatient or ambulatory care setting may not. This is potentiated in rural areas where geographic distances add further complications to access and assembly of health data. The penetration of electronic records in ambulatory settings is very low, so many providers are still using paper charts. DeRoche et al., in a 2008 article in the Journal of the American Medical Association about EHRS and ambulatory care, found that only 4% of physicians reported having an extensive, fully functional electronic record system in their practice, and 13% reported having just a basic system in their practice. This may be changing as the High-Tech Act and the financial incentives take hold, but suffice to say that ambulatory care at present has a very low rate of EHRS adoption. Now, remember from the prior slide that the patient load in an ambulatory setting is often much higher than inpatient. When 20 to 45 or more patients are seen in a single day in an average provider office, the time to spend with each patient is compressed. Combine this with frequently incomplete data, and the quality of the encounter can decline markedly while the frustration of the provider and the patient goes up. Additional resources must be diverted to the paper chase, distracting from patient care. So what else is different? Well, the episode of care is different between settings. In the inpatient setting, the patient has a definite admission and discharge point and usually received a set course of circumscribed treatments. Not so in ambulatory, where patients present with numerous problems requiring ongoing treatment and monitoring. In the ambulatory setting, there are usually far fewer providers interacting with a patient at any one visit, yet the need for coordination, communication, and consultation across organizations and providers can be much higher. What we see in this comparison is that ultimately healthcare information systems and healthcare processes are tightly linked. The data from one encounter or one system must feed into another to support high quality, efficient, safe, and effective care, particularly as our healthcare delivery system changes and these new sites of care emerge. The growth of ambulatory care will continue to expand, and to reach meaningful use will require marked adoption of EHRS, regardless of site of care. This completes the first half of the slide deck for Unit 2. In the final segment of Unit 2, we will delve into how HIT can be used to support care processes. So how do inpatient and ambulatory differ? The process of inpatient care can be conceptualized very generally as having four phases. Initial evaluation, and that usually occurs within the first 24 hours of care, ongoing management, pre-discharge, and discharge phases. The ambulatory care process differs in that it is episodic. It may require coordination among providers at different locations using different records, and may address the monitoring and treatment of ongoing chronic conditions in addition to the acute ones. So each of these encounter types require that HIT be applied in different ways, but fundamentally there is still much in common.